go to our next speaker, if that's okay, Special Agent Michael McGuire.
I've been asked to speak to you regarding the occurrence of domestic terrorism within recent years. While this subject can be quite extensive in light of present time constraints, I hope that a few examples might serve to increase your awareness of criminal activity, which is very much present, but which might not be so widely known. In general, terrorism is simply extremism, crimes which are committed based upon strongly held beliefs or to further an agenda. And so here I will mention a few varieties of such. In May of 2012, a group of approximately 18 people, wielding bats, hammers, and other blunt instruments, charged into a Chicago restaurant and attacked another group having lunch there. The latter group had gathered under the auspices of their shared beliefs, and it was because of those beliefs that they had been targeted. Neither the restaurant nor the dozens of other diners present were aware of those beliefs or of that meeting until they all became collateral victims of the attack. In August of 2013, animal rights activists struck a mink ranch in rural northwest Illinois, vandalizing property and releasing livestock. The loss of the animals and their breeding information dwarfed the property damage, resulting in a loss of well over $100,000 for the family-owned small business. One day later, two known animal rights activists who had driven all the way from California and who both possessed criminal histories were pulled over in the middle of the night, a few miles away from a fox farm in Woodford County. Both of those farms were included amongst the more than 60 Illinois businesses listed in an animal rights publication which provides the names, locations, and proprietors of several thousand businesses throughout the United States and Canada. Within the space of several months last year, dozens of those and other targets internationally were struck by animal rights extremists in a surge of activity, the magnitude of which has not been seen for more than a decade. In March of 2011, a pipe bomb was placed at the Decatur home of a man who was involved in a financial dispute with his family. The bomber had a long criminal history, which included rape, kidnapping, arson, assault, battery, burglary, and theft, most of which occurred more than 20 years ago. At the time of the event, the bomber was 44 years old, owned and ran a successful business, and had not been arrested on any charges for 7 years. The sentencing judge in that case advised that he had provided the maximum allowable sentence not for purposes of punishment, revenge, or rehabilitation, but to remove the defendant from society as a matter of public safety. In April of 2014, a dispute between the Bureau of Land Management and a Nevada cattle rancher received national attention. In response to what was perceived as severe and overreaching government action, hundreds of people from across the country traveled to the site of the activity, and many of them possess firearms, to include handguns, assault rifles, and sniper rifles. The stated intention of many of those present was that an action by the government which was perceived to be unlawful would result in violent resistance. That matter was de-escalated, but it is indicative of present conditions. Anti-government movements and incidents of violence have historically occurred in cycles, to include peaks in the 1970s and 1990s, and the number of anti-government groups and individuals has swelled since 2008, to numbers well beyond what has been seen in decades. And when here I speak of people who are anti-government, I do not mean those who peacefully disagree with the decisions and operations of government, or those who rationally argue for different actions or changes. I speak of those who believe that the government has come under the control of a corrupt few people who will eventually throw out the Constitution and subject the American people to tyranny. In April of 2013, a survey showed that approximately 29% of Americans believe that, quote, in the next few years, an armed revolution might be necessary in order to protect our liberties, end quote. Many of those who claim that they will take violent action are waiting to do so until they find sufficient cause, which is to say some event which, to them, proves their theories enough that they believe that their violence will be righteous. Such a threshold obviously varies between persons. In the 1990s, events at Ruby Ridge, Idaho, and Waco, Texas, inspired anti-government sentiment within Timothy McVeigh and Terry Nichols, which eventually led to the bombing of the Murrah Building in Oklahoma City in 1995. 168 people, including children, were killed in that attack. And there were other incidents. In November of 2013, a gunman targeting TSA employees opened fire in the Los Angeles International Airport, killing one person and injuring four others. In January of 2014, two men associated with the white supremacy movement were indicted for attempting to use a radiation device to kill Muslims. In October of 2013, an incendiary device was activated at a Planned Parenthood facility in Missouri. And there's still more incidents, more examples, both executed and prevented, but hopefully these examples can serve to improve your awareness. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.